Pastor Lori and I love you. We're so thankful that you're here today, and we want you to receive all that God has for you today. I believe that you're in the right place to receive a word from God that will change your life. So open your hearts and grab a hold of it today. All right, I think they're done. Y'all get a chance to give? Nobody missed you? All right. Amen. Let's pray. God, we thank you as we receive the word of life today, that it'll be nourishment to our souls, that our spirits will grow, that our lives will be directed towards what you have for us, that every word today as it is spoken by your Spirit will bring life to our mortal flesh, that it'll renew our mind, that it'll strengthen our heart and draw us closer to what you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want to talk to you today about how to trust God and stop worrying. How to trust God and stop worrying. Does anybody ever worry? Anybody ever worried about anything? Everybody worries about stuff from time to time. Some of us more than others. Some of you are professional worriers. You could do a class on it. You could preach a sermon on worry. Probably should have had you up here giving us all your examples of the things that you worry about. It's a habit in your life. In fact, I would say some of you are addicted to worry. In fact, if you didn't have anything to worry about, you would be unhappy. Okay? You have an addiction to crisis. You have drama. That's the new word here. All right. Your life would be boring if you didn't have a lot of drama, a lot of things to worry about, all the time going on. And you just if something isn't going wrong, you'll come up with something to worry about. That's some of you in here. All right. Could be about your bills, could be about your children or your grandchildren, could be about your marriage or your relationships, could be about your health or getting old or being rejected by people, could be anxious about what's going to happen in the future, what's going to happen, what are you going to do? I mean, it's endless. Sometimes you lay in bed at night and thoughts go through your mind and you don't even know where they came from about things that could go wrong in your life. Anybody in here ever have anything that they've experienced like that? So I want to help you today how to trust God and stop worrying. And there's a good reason for it, and that is because of what worry does to you. Worry sucks all the time and energy out of your life so that you can't do productive things. It distracts you from the productive purposes of God in your life to insignificant things that you can't do anything about. You hear? What is worry? Worry is it's to be uneasy, to be restless in your mind and have feelings of fear and anxiety about things, to fret and be nervous about what will happen. Here, listen to this. And I've done word studies and took different languages. Worry comes from the German word "würgen," and it means strangle. This is what it means. This is where it's come from. It means strangle. In the original sense, it means to seize by the throat and tear and harass figuratively. And this is what worry does to us. It strangles our mind. It takes our lives by the throat so that we can't breathe. I was watching, we were watching a movie about a high school football team, and they were getting ready for the biggest game of their life. And this one guy's over at the toilet throwing up. And I looked at my daughter and my wife. I said, "Hey, have you ever been so nervous that you actually threw up?" I mean, some people, they get so nervous about something. Could be whatever, public speaking or playing in a public event or something where the stakes are so high. They get so nervous that they throw up. Your mouth gets dry. Your hands shake. I mean, worry takes over your whole body, takes over your mind, takes over your decision-making. In fact, sometimes when you get so nervous, you don't even know what to say in certain situations. If you're in sales, maybe you experience this. You're trying to make a phone call or knock on somebody's door. You're going to have a meeting with somebody, and you go, or you have a confrontation, and you get so, and you get in there, and you go, "I forgot what I was going to say." You have to write things down. Sometimes people get so nervous when they come to see Pastor Tom. I don't know why. such a wonderful, friendly guy. But they get so nervous when they walk into my office and say, "Pastor Tom, I just had to write this all down." I went, "That's good. You should write stuff down. But just relax. Everything's going to be okay." So we experience all these changes in our body and in our emotions and in our mind that we go through when we're worrying. And it's not good. It strangles the peace, the joy out of life, our ability to think and function. And actually, worry causes us to act, and this is the worst part of this, act independently of what God wants for our lives. Worry is saying, I have to do something to fix my life instead of trusting in God. So today I'm saying you can choose to trust God or you can choose to worry, but you can't do both. And I want to help you trust God because that's what he wants. He takes pleasure in those people who trust him and believe in him. We were at a meeting in Madison on Friday night and listening to this prophetess, and she was talking about how the prayers of the saints have changed climates and countries and decisions that people make and plans that the devil had. And I'm thinking, you know, I just sense that God wants the people of God. He wants his people to believe him for big things, not just their own personal world, not just the bills that need to be paid, but big things. That God would have his way in the lives of our family, in the lives of our churches, in the lives of our cities and in our country. To believe him for big things and to intercede and stand in the gap for those who are leaders, spiritual leaders, political leaders, all kinds of people that have influence. Our lives can change that. You know, the reason why Pastor Lori and I are pastors here today and the reason why you're here today is because we're pastors of this church is because my mom, who was never in full-time ministry, she was a housewife her whole life, and a mother her whole life. That's all she did. At a certain point in her life, she began to pray for her children and get in God's face and say, "God, I'm going to believe you that you have your way in their lives," and it changed my life. At the age of 17 years old, went from being a drug addict, a drug dealer, to being, you know, and totally wild for the devil, sex, drugs, and rock and roll, to radical for the devil, sold out for God, saying, "God, I'll do anything you want me to do." And my mom would say, "I was praying that God would do whatever he wanted to do in you, but I had no idea he was going to do all of this." You don't have any idea what God's going to do in your life if you totally sell out to him. You don't know. All you hear is these little worry. Well, what if I do that? Then I might lose this. And what are people going to think about me? I mean, you know, you just got to say, "I'm going to totally trust God. Do what he says. Let the chips fall where they may." You got to sell out. You got to trust God and not worry about everything. Not worry about it. Well, let's talk more about this worry. Worry is the enemy of faith. Worry is the father of fear. Worry is the dealer of doubt. And doubt accomplishes nothing. Doubt sits in the lazy boy chair and wonders if anything will ever happen. And why doesn't things turn around for me? That's what doubt does. Faith has a voice and faith has action. Faith says, "I believe what God said and I'm going to get up and do what he says." And then all heaven can move. Because when you and God are in agreement together, nothing can stop you. When you and God are in agreement, you're a majority. Okay? And that's what God is looking for in his people. He's looking for people who expect big things out of them. You got to be a big thinker with God. You know, sometimes when people just get saved and they just begin to serve God and they see how exciting it is, they begin to have these big, huge dreams like, "Man, I want to travel around the world, and I want to be a missionary, and I want to preach, and I want to do this, and I want to be recording, and I want to write books, and I want to do all these kind of things." And you know, and some people who have been disappointed with life, they'll go, "You know, you just need to settle down." Baloney. You, nobody needs to settle down when they're on fire for God. Are you on fire today?
Yes.
Well, I want to turn you, I want to get you ignited. You got to keep the flame burning. That was the first song my that Pastor Lori ever recorded. Because she's recorded, the first song she ever recorded was "Keep the Flame Burning." And Norval Hayes had her sing it everywhere we went. Because that's the thing that will that the devil is after. He's after that fire that you have for God, to put it out. Because as soon as that fire goes out, your passion goes out, and you're not willing to make the commitments to get out of bed in the morning and do what God asks you to do. And a lot of that comes from worry, snuffs out the fire and the passion of God. Because you're concerned, well, you're worried, you're afraid. What are people going to say? What are people going to think? Am I going to run out of money? What's going to happen to me? You know, even if you make mistakes when you're on fire for God, God will turn it around. Amen. He will turn it around. He'll protect you. He'll do things for people who are believing him for big things that he won't do for totally obedient people who don't do anything except sit there and worry. You know, oh, what if I give away all my money? Where did you get it from? How many times I've given away all my money and my mind says, that's all you had. And I went, yeah, and it all came from God. So it was his to begin with. So when he says to do something with his money, boom, you do it. It's his time. So when he says, commit your day, this day to prayer, commit your day to serving these people, commit your day to pray and be in the Word, commit your day to doing something as a service to the body of Christ, it was his day to begin with. Why all this talk about worry? Dr. Charles Mayo, who was one of the founders of the Mayo Clinic, said, worry affects the circulation, the heart, the glands, the whole nervous system, profoundly affects our health, our entire body, our emotions, and our thought. Now, worry is a part of our fallen nature that Satan uses to keep us from doing what God wants us to do, because we're afraid. If you couldn't fail doing something that God tells you to do, you'd be much more eager to do it if you couldn't fail. But the devil lies to you and says, well, if you do that, you could, you know. If you actually walked up to somebody and started telling them about God and they ask you a question you don't know, you'd look like an idiot. So you don't say anything. You hold back. Or what if they reject me? What if I get fired from my job? What if? Worry starts with, what if all these bad things happen to me? What if the person receives the word of God and gets saved? What if your boss goes, a Christian in my office, I'm going to promote you to vice president? What if you begin to serve God and somebody comes along and says, I want to fund your ministry. I want to resource your life. When Pastor Lori and I got married, we both had a vision that we were supposed to go into full-time ministry. We didn't know any of the details. He just says, go into full-time ministry and go to this Bible school. So we said, well, in order to go to that Bible school, we have to do this, 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 and this, which means sell our house and leave our family and go here, and we don't know where we're going, and we're going to some hillbilly town in Tennessee. Y'all come back. You hear? Dogs running around, people burning their garbage in their backyard, everybody eating grits. That's cream of wheat without sugar in it. It's really not. When God says something to you, you need to be so excited that God is actually speaking to you. See, most of us, we want God to intervene and do stuff in our life that we want him to do. But he's got stuff you don't even know about. And if you start doing what he wants you to do, maybe he'll do some of the stuff you want him to do. That was good. That was the best part of the whole message right there. If you begin to do the things that God wants you to do, here's how I usually say it. If you take care of God's business, he'll take care of your business. But we're so worried what'll happen if we actually do that. All right, let me get into a couple scriptures here I have for you today. Philippians 4, here's what the Apostle Paul says to us. He says, don't worry over anything whatsoever. Don't worry, say that together. Don't worry about anything, whatever. No matter what it is, don't worry about it. Whew. I feel some of you getting free right now. So here's what you do. Don't worry about it. Here's what I found. When worry comes, you can't just sit there and say, I'm not going to worry. You got to actually do something else. You got to refocus your mind and your thoughts on something else. So here's what he says to do. Tell God every detail of your needs in earnest and in thankful prayer. And then here's what will happen, verse 7. And the peace of God, which transcends human understanding. Okay? This is what I love about being a Christ follower, about a believer in God. Things happen that transcend our understanding. What happened? This is what happened. I don't know how it happened. See, a lot of people have to have everything figured out before they do what God tells them to do. I'll tell you what, you can't have everything figured out before God does something, and you can't even figure it out after he does something. I mean, you just kind of know what happened. I know I got hit by a train, and I'm still alive. All right, I know I gave all my money away, but I still have plenty of food, and I live, and I've got all my bills. I gave all my time that day to serving God, but yet I still have plenty of time and energy to do all this other stuff. You don't understand. All you have to do is say, God, I'm casting my care on you. The peace of God, which transcends human understanding, will keep us in a constant guard over our hearts and minds as they rest in Christ Jesus. Whew. And that's where fear and worry try to lodge itself. Oh, so you got to be fearing, nervous Nelly. Nervous Nelly. Anxious Annie. Worry warts. I mean, we got all these names for it, don't we? The worry warts. I'm going to do a whole message on worry warts. Those are the things that try to attack us, that get us in fear and anxiety and paralyze us instead of having the peace of God guard our hearts so that we can rest in Christ Jesus. It's really about faith. And I don't like to say, well, just have faith in God, because it's kind of a throwaway bumper sticker kind of thing, and it's a little condescending. But for a lot of the things that we worry about, if we would just believe and put our trust in God and focus in on that, a lot of the problems would take care of themselves. In fact, there's a lot, 90% of the things that we worry about never even happen. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that in a minute. But let me show you this scripture in Proverbs 12:25. It says this. Proverbs 12:25. Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but the word of God makes it glad. So here we have Solomon, the psychiatrist. Solomon, the great psychiatrist, is saying, you know, when you have anxiety and worry, it causes depression. Those are the chemical makeups in your mind, all those whatever they are, those things that limits the serotonin in your mind, you know, when you start worrying, all those happy chemicals go away, and all these sad chemicals come. That's what happens. When you have worry, you guess, life's so good stuff, you know. And what you do is you magnify the negative, and your heart just gets depressed. You know, everybody rejects me, nobody loves me, I might as well eat some worms. And, you know, here we have the whole process, and what it begins with is, instead of putting your eyes on Jesus and trusting him to take care of you, you start to look at all the problems. In fact, you make stuff up sometimes that aren't even problems. I have people come to me for counseling, which is not always the best thing for them, because they want to do sometimes is they don't really want counseling. They just want somebody to dump all their worry on instead of actually solve a problem, okay? Now, husbands, you're not called in life to fix all your wife's problems, all right? I understand that you feel that God has spoken to you. You're supposed to, but it's not about the problem. It's about listening, okay? So if you have a temptation, husbands, to actually try to fix the problem that your wife is telling you about, just please, before you do, ask for permission. So when my girls at my house start telling me about problems, I'll say, well, now, girls, I know this is a problem. So let me ask you a question. Am I supposed to just sit here and listen to this, or do you actually want me to fix something? And you know what? The majority of the time, it's listen. And I went, okay, just so I know. I'm cool, just so I know. So if I cross the line, girls, I said, just stop me, all right? If you tell me about how, you know, you're overdrawn in your bank account, just stop me before I say anything. If you, it's whatever the problem is, all right? If you, so anxiety, though, gives us this psychological release of or paralyzing of our happy, joyful life. And anxiety steals the joy of life from us. Worry steals the joy of life from us. And so here's another scripture in Proverbs 3 from this psychiatrist Solomon, Proverbs 3, 5. It says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Now, again, lean not to your own understanding. I don't believe you can trust God with all of your heart if you have to figure things out. Are you with me today? I just don't believe that. I believe because God's not going to give us all of the information that we think. Because, you know, even if he gave you all the information, you would still probably argue with him. So God's just, he's not into all your drama. Well, what about this? What about this? What about this? God's just like, trust me. Just trust me. You know, if you ever have children that you give them an instruction, and they're always, they have all these questions, they have all these reasons, and they have, and you just go, look, just do what I say, trust me. I don't have time to explain everything. I don't have time to explain everything. You don't need to understand everything to do what God says and trust him. Next verse, verse 6. Well, this is, here's what's going to happen. Trust in the Lord and lean not to your own understanding. In all of your ways, whatever you decide to do, all of your ways and how you do things and the methods you have, make sure you're acknowledging him and he will direct your paths. Now, that word direct there isn't that he will necessarily change your direction, but what he will do is he will make your direction smooth. Smooth. He will make it smooth and he will make it so that you can handle it. Okay? He will make it smooth. He will make it perfect for you. And then the last verse says this. That's not the last verse. I guess that is all the verses that I have here. So he will make your way smooth. He will make it straight so it won't be, you know, you're going this way one time. And God has a path for you. And he wants you to be on. Now, I don't care who you are or what you do or what you have. Worry, care, anxiety, and fear will oppress you if you don't deal with it, okay? And because most people who have problems in this area don't know how to deal with it, they just get medicated. They just get medicated, and that medication doesn't necessarily change their life like trusting God does. It just numbs the fear and anxiety, but it's still there under the surface, and it's still doing exactly what it was sent by the devil to do. Okay? I understand some people who've got a tremendous amount of chemical problems in their mind, and this is a depression and anxiety are issues that medicine can help some people. Okay, don't get me wrong. But ultimately, the answer is not there. The answer is in learning to trust in God no matter what your circumstances look like. A freight train can be getting ready to hit you, all right? If you'll put your trust in God, he can deliver you. You may have been given a letter of foreclosure. You may be in bankruptcy. You may not be able to find a job. The doctor may have been giving you a bad report, and you have all this anxiety and fear about what's going to happen to you. Believe me, if you will put your trust in God and say, God, you're in charge of my life, he will turn things around for you. And if you begin to believe him, God, this is a bad report. I want to believe the report of the Lord. The report of the Lord isn't for me to you know, get cancer and die. It's not for me to be homeless. It's not for me to be on drugs. This is not the will of God for me. The will of God for me is to whatever I put my hand to prospers, that he directs my path and he makes it smooth and he makes it straight. The will of the Lord for me is this and this and this, and this is what I'm going to believe for. And I'm going to believe for a lot of it, and I'm going to believe for it all the time. Awesome. All right. I'm going to give you 6 baby steps here this morning before we finish. I call them baby steps because it makes it sound like it's really easy to do. So the first baby step I want to share with you about how to trust God and stop worrying is number one, know and believe what God says. And I say this is number one because this is where it begins. Faith begins where the will of God is known. Faith begins where the word of God is known. Trusting God begins where you know what God wants for your life. If you don't know that God wants to heal you and have you be healthy as a person, physically, mentally, then you think, well, I could just get sick and die. You could be worried about this. But if you know what God's promised you, that he wants to prosper you, bless the works of your hands, he wants to give you wisdom, then you can say, this is the will of God. I'm going to believe for all that God has for me in this area. You know, the Bible uses the word fear not. God says to us, fear not, 365 times in the Bible. Some of you know that. One for every day of the year. Fear not. Fear is the opposite of faith. Fear is just faith in the unpromises of God or the lies of the devil. He is a liar and he's to be exposed as a liar, but fear is just faith in what the devil's telling you or what the world's telling you or what your mind tells you. False evidence appearing real. However, even though it's false evidence, if you put your faith in it, it could become a reality. Could become a reality. And I don't know the percentage here. I didn't do enough research on this. But a lot of people who feel sick and go to the doctor, it's as a symptom of worry. It's what they call psychosomatic. It's just because they feel it way. They're not actually sick. Fear does that to us. Anxiety does this to us. And it wreaks havoc on our bodies. And eventually, if you don't deal with worry and fear, you will actually be sick. It'll actually cause your body to react to the belief system that you have in the negative or the brokenness or the corruption that's in the world. And you just got to say no to it. Are you with me? Psalm 91 says, and this is, and most of the, some of you, this is your favorite. This is Pastor Laurie's favorite scripture. Pastor Laurie says, this is my favorite scripture. Psalm 91, it says, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come nigh your dwelling. He shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. What a promise. Again, I've experienced this. I got hit by a freight train. I walked away without a scratch because the name of Jesus came out of my mouth because I put my trust in him. Now, if he wanted to, thank you. We have that on call at any time. This is my van. That's obviously after the freight train hit me. So this isn't just a story that got that started little and got big. This is actually the true story. Okay, this is not an evangelistic illustration. This is actually the real story. But see, so what I'm saying is, you can actually believe God for big things. You put your life in his hands. No evil will befall you. No plague will come nigh your dwelling. The angels will be in charge over you. You know, in Mark 9:23, here's what Jesus says. He says to us, if you believe, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. I love impossibilities. Now, I don't always know how. Again, you can't figure God out. Don't know how he's going to do it. I've tried. It never works. I've said, well, this is how God's going to do it. This is how he did it in the past. And this is kind of what the word says, and he's going to do it this way. And then God says, no, I have other plans. I'm going to see. He sees this thing from the eternal perspective. He knows who's going to be where and who's doing what and what their motives are and what you need to be doing in order to help these people. And so he's rearranging all the furniture behind the scenes. Are you with me? That's why trust is so important. To be a part of God's will, to be a part of God's plan, to fulfill your destiny and his purpose for your life, you just have to trust him and allow him to make your paths straight. When making a difficult decision, God says in James, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives liberally without reproaching or shaming you for asking, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith. because those who doubt won't receive anything of the Lord. So when you need wisdom, the Bible promises to give it to you. I need wisdom every day. I mean, man, I wouldn't find the church sometimes if I didn't ask God for help. Neither would you. That's my Bible school teacher said that's why churches have steeples on them, so people can find them. All right, baby step number two. Change the picture you have of God. Change the picture you have of God. Now, this is huge. This is life-changing when you can say, this is who God really is. Because we have an imperfect picture of who God is, which is part of the reason it's hard for us to trust him. And this story of C.S. Lewis, of Prince Caspian, a little child named Lucy comes to Aslan, the Christ figure in Narnia. And after not seeing him for a long time, she says, Aslan, you are so much bigger. And he answers, that is because you are older, little one. And Lucy says, not because you are? And he says, I am not. But every year you grow, you will find me bigger. The more mature in faith that we get, the bigger God is for us. Yes, we have to grow our faith. We can't put all of the responsibility on, well, whatever God wants is going to happen. That's not the way he's designed it. He's designed us to partner with him so that our faith is what opens up the door and releases him to come out of the realm of space and or come out of the realm of eternity into the space, time, energy, and matter continuum that we live in, and take our faith and go, okay, I have somebody who's going to believe me and trust me. I have a Moses who's going to stretch the rod up. Take what's in your hand and use it for God, and then he parts the waters for you. I have a people who understand my greatness, who will believe me and speak into the atmosphere and prophesy to the dry bones so they come to life. They didn't come to life until Ezekiel prophesied. Things don't happen until we prophesy, until we speak the word of faith out of our mouth that's in our heart because we see an image of God. So we've got to get a clear image and picture of who God is. And when we grow in our faith, it becomes clear. We understand his power, his presence in our life, his perfectionism, his will, and we learn to rest in that. And we can grow then in our dependence on him. Everybody say dependence. See, it comes down to many times, trust versus worry comes down to, are we going to be dependent on God or are we going to be independent? And a lot of our own worry comes because we're trying to do things independently of God and not depend on him in our lives. And independence of God is not a good thing. And we think it is because, well, then we get to choose our own way. We get to have our own way. You know, God's going to cramp my style. He's a cosmic killjoy, all this nonsense. Because we don't have a right picture of him. Instead of saying, I'm just going to be dependent on him, whatever he tells me to do, I know he has my best interest. I will live a more prosperous life doing what God asks me to do than all the years I could be running from him trying to accomplish something on my own. Know that with God as a competent and complete God that you find in Scripture, that he will take care of all the things that stress you out. You can trust him, that he's competent, that he will complete what he said he will do in your life, that he will perfect even those things that concern you, the Bible says. But you have to have a will that is yielded to depend whatever he says to do, say, okay, I trust you that you'll bring this to pass. Now, this is a life that can be, this isn't like, oh, I'm bored with the Lord. You know, a lot of Christians, oh, I'm bored. Church is boring. Well, you know, there may be parts of church listening to me talk for 45 minutes, maybe kind of boring. But if you take the things that God says to you today and actually put them into play, your life will never be boring again. But you got to trust him in order to do it. Okay, I'm not talking about being foolish. I'm talking trust him when he says to do it. So have an ever-growing knowledge and understanding of this omnipotent, all-present, all-powerful, all-knowing God who created everything and then made you the object of his love, because he created everything in this entire universe to have a relationship with you. He's a personal God. Science, astrophysics, cosmologists, they're all coming to the conclusion that the universe had a beginning. And they're coming to the conclusion that in order to have a beginning, you have to have a beginner, person that started it, who's outside of space, time, energy, and matter. And so here's what the Bible says. We believe by faith that everything exists has come from everything that never did exist. The Bible prophesied that a thousand years ago before scientists have ever figured it out. The Bible isn't confusing when it comes to the creation of the universe and the creation of men, because he said he created you as the object of his love, and creation was designed in order to redeem you into a relationship with him. So you got to see God as understanding that he's looking outside of all of this. He wasn't in space and time. He created space and time. He created matter, and he created everything designed so that you could be here today and have a relationship with him. And that relationship means you can believe that he's going to fulfill what he's said he wants to do in your life. But you got to run after him and find out, many of you, what that is. Okay? Stop worrying about all this other stuff. I know what God wants you to do. Sometimes, you know, there's been stuff that I've worried about that never happened. I mean, I'm talking about big things like life-changing, you know, homeless, never, no, all kinds of things that tried to attack my mind. And I began to say, God, I'm just going to focus on what you've told me. I'm not going to, you know, if this happens, then for some reason, you can turn it around. But I'm not going to focus on any of that. I'm going to focus on what you've called me to do. And you know what? It evaporated. Never happened. I never knew if it was going to happen. It just seemed like it, okay? Your fears are related in false reality, but if you continue to focus on them, you're going to try to do things to keep it from happening that God may not even want you to be about. He might even want you to be doing anything about those things because he knows those things aren't real anyway. They're just lies of the devil. Those friends that are rejecting you, don't worry about what they think about you. You do not have to prove yourself to anybody. God loves you. You need to love yourself the way he's created you to be. Do what he's called you to do. Let the chips fall where they may. Love people and be nice to them. But you don't have to dress the way they want, talk the way they want you to talk, go where they want you to go, be with them. You know, who do you think you are? I am a child of God, like it or lump it. Come with me or go somewhere else. You know, you have a choice. People have a choice. And most of the time, people are trying to control you because they're insecure about who they are. They need you to react to them in a certain way so they can feel good about themselves. You're not responsible for anybody else's happiness. They have to trust God for themselves. Psychologist Dr. Wilkie here. Get a vision of God. Go to Job, not now. Go to Job and read through chapter 38 and 39. And find out what God says about himself, about his entire plan to create this world. And he says, do you know how I make the oceans stay where they are? Do you know how I make the sun come up and go down? Do you know how I separate light from darkness? Do you know how I continue to expand the universe? Do you know how I did all this? No, you don't. And he finally says, still, Job, you want to argue with the Almighty? You are God's critic. But do you have the answers? Isn't that something? We like to criticize the way God's handling things, but we don't have the answers. This is my personal belief. I believe that murmuring and complaining is telling God he's not doing a good job, that you could do better than he does. That's free. Worrying is like arguing with Almighty God when we don't even know what the problem is. Baby step three. Now, this could be misunderstood, but I think for what we're talking about here, this will work for us today. Baby step number three is this. Stop trusting people, or stop trusting in people and things. It's not that we don't want to have a relationship with people where you know you trust them, but I'm talking about putting your trust for what God has called you to in their life as if you needed them to accomplish what God called you to do. Now, believe me, as a pastor, most pastors trust more in people than they do in God. That's what God told me one time. He says, most pastors trust more in people than they do in God. That's why when it comes to how they lead, what they teach their church, how they handle their church, they're more concerned about what people think about them than what God thinks about them. They want to listen to what the people think he should do versus what God says he should do. And that's just our human nature. You know, we want the pastor to preach on this. Right, I guess we have all of our ways and our methods, and we have our likes and dislikes, but ultimately when it comes to the vision that God's given a pastor, he's got to be able to say to the people, I love you, but this is what God wants you to know or do or me to say. See? Just don't take it personal. Okay, elders, let's get together. The deacon board can get together. Decide whether we need to vote in a new pastor. Well, one thing about me, Spirit Life Church, you didn't vote me in and you can't vote me out. Woo! All right, God, whatever you want me to tell them. So I'm doing it. I'm telling you what God wants me to tell you today. And some people, when they hear a corrective word from their pastor, they get offended. Like, you know, either don't love me or why don't you, you know, do this, that, and the other thing. Look, it's going to be the same way in your life. You can't run around looking to people for your affirmation and trust God. You're going to be worried about what they think all the time. Okay. Now, I understand you have to have people skills. No, that's not what I'm talking about. People, it's great to have people skills. Love them, nice to them, give to them, be generous, help serving, all that kind of thing. What I'm talking about is looking at them for their for approval, or otherwise you're going to be worried that you'll be rejected. Well, you're not even in the Bible. You're not even in the Bible. You know, when the Apostle Paul, who I believe fulfilled the will of God, he says, by the time he got to the death part, he says, I have fulfilled, I was, you know, he's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. I have finished the race. And at that point when he said, I finished the race, and they were about to cut his head off, and they had him sentenced, you know what? He said, when I was in Rome, no man stood with me. Everybody forsook me. What kind of life is that? You know, there are times when people have forsaken me, and I go, God, can you bring them back, please? Because you don't want them back. You don't want them back. Because you're trying to please people, and yet instead of please me, okay? And you just got to realize that sometimes people aren't going to hang around while you follow God, and it's going to hurt. But you got to trust God and not worry about what people think, okay? And then you can't trust in things. Let me read this from Jeremiah. I think we have this up there. From Jeremiah. Well, Jeremiah is the prophet here. Okay, so hang on to your seats. Here comes Jeremiah about trusting in things. Ready? 17 verse 5. Should be there, Rachel. Jeremiah prophesies, this is what the Lord says. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who depends on flesh for his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. Woo! Pretty tough, isn't it? Cursed is the one who trusts in man. You know why? Because man is not your source. They can't change anything about you. You see, the things in life that you need to have changed, that God needs to have changed, don't change from the outside, dear. They change from the inside. And when stuff changes on the inside, that God does something on the in your heart and in your mind that causes your decisions to change, that's when life changes around you. And putting trust in any person isn't going to cause that to happen. Next verse. Here's what will happen. He will be like a bush in the wastelands. He will not see prosperity when it comes. He will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives. That's what happens if you trust in man. Okay? So here's my question. Are you trusting in your, let's bring this down. Are you trusting in your job and in your employer? Are you trusting in the economy for your provision? Jeremiah continues, "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord." I think we have another verse there, right? Verse 7. "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him." Now that's where the blessing is. Confidence in God. Confidence in him. "He will be like a tree by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit." Oh, man, when the economy went south, oh, all of us, oh, man, what are we going to do? Years ago. Well, those people didn't have anything to begin with and were just trusting God. When the economy is the same for me as it was before. Nothing's changed for me. The stock market crashes, that's okay. I didn't have any money in the stock market. All right? So don't worry about what happens out here. Seriously. Prosperity doesn't come from out here. The blessings of God come from in here. I have an expression that we've used around Spirit Life Church for years, and it says, I say, to be a frog. Be a frog. Frog is the acronym for fully rely on God. Be a frog. Okay, you'll remember that. Fully rely on God. All right, let me give you these last three real quick. Humble yourself, number four. Don't try to be God. 1 Peter 5 says this, "Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." And how do you do that? Verse 7 says this, "Casting all," or give all your worries and care to God, for he cares about you and what happens to you. What a beautiful promise. Cast all of your care. You know what that word cast means? I mean, cast isn't like, here's my worries, God. It's not what cast means. Cast means here's my worries. Get rid of them. All right? Ooh, what happened in church today? Pastor Tom threw a water bottle at me. Worry is like saying, I can't trust God to take care of my situation. Cast that baby away from you. And then focus in on trusting in God. All right, number five, change your thinking. Number five, change your thinking. And I'm just going to go through this real quick, because here's what Jesus says in Matthew 6. He says, Matthew 6:25, he says, "I say to you, do not worry about your life. What you will eat, what you will drink, nor for your body what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Do not worry about your life." I remember when I first got saved, I was in a denominational church, and I was 17 years old, and I went to the pastor because I read this, and I went, oh, I mean, I just got the Holy Spirit in my life, and I read this, and I'm like, oh, Jesus said, don't worry about your life. Isn't this wonderful? This is so wonderful. I went to the pastor to tell him I was so excited about this verse. The pastor, I said, this is what Jesus said. Do not worry about your life, what you shall eat, what you wear. And the pastor looks at me, goes, you can't tell me not to worry. He says, I have a wife, I have a baby, I have a house, I have a car, I have food bills, I have electric bills. He says, you can't tell me not to worry. this is a man who's been in the ministry. I don't know if he was saved or not. So this is a man, this is a pastor. And I said, oh, really? I said, well, but Jesus said that. Hey? So something's wrong here, right? Does Jesus not understand? No, he totally understands. What he's trying to get you to do is understand that God responds to faith and the devil responds to worry. And then he goes on and he says, look at the birds of the air. Think about them. Consider them. Look at them. Consider the birds of the air. Consider the lilies. There's no worry, there's no fear, there's no anxiety. God takes care of them. And you all know this. God takes care of them. Now, one bird falls to the ground unless God sees it. Aren't you more important than the birds? Aren't you more important than the flowers? Much more important. Okay? And he goes on in verse 27. Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? Which of you by worrying can do anything to change your life? Mm-mm. So why do you worry about clothing? Look at the flowers. Okay? By trusting in God, he will provide for you everything that you need. Okay? So change your thinking. And lastly, change your words. Change your words. I don't have time to talk about this, but let me just say, in verse 31 here, Jesus continues in Matthew chapter 6, 31, to change your words. He says this, he says, therefore, do not worry. Let's say this together. Therefore, do not worry, saying. How do you worry? Saying. Now, a thought may come in, but here's what we do. Thought comes in and goes, oh, man, I'm really afraid this is going to, oh, man, I'm really concerned about, oh, you know, and you can sanitize it if you want to. Go, oh, I hope this, you know, or I'm believing for that. You know, just you're saying fears coming out of your mouth. And the angels of God that are there to be ministers of those who are to inherit salvation hear the fear coming out of your mouth, and they're going, can't do anything. Pastor Lloyd preached a message called Bored Angels. Bored angels. Your angels are sitting around because God's given you angels to help you. We already established that. They're bored because they're not hearing any faith. Angels respond to faith just like the Holy Spirit, just like God, just like you do. You respond to faith. They don't respond to fear. They don't respond to worry and anxiety. They respond to faith. So, don't worry saying, what am I going to do? Have faith by saying, God knows my situation. Okay, if you want the vocabulary, here it is. God knows my situation. I'm putting my trust in him. The word of God is working. God knows my situation. I'm putting my trust in him. His promises are working. Let's say that together. What was that again I said? God knows my situation. I'm putting my trust in him. The promises of God are working. You put your trust in God. You know what God says. You know he's in charge of your life. His promises are working. That's all you need to say. That's all you need to say. All right? Fear, worry, doubt, it's got to go. You don't need to be up all night. You just tell your mind, I'm going to focus on the Word of God. Someone said, in this life, you'll have some trouble, but when you worry, you make it double. Don't worry. Be happy. Don't worry. Never borrow trouble from the future. That's what worry does. Worry borrows trouble from the future, which means you'll have worry now and you'll have worry then, but there's nothing you can do about it now, so worry steals your joy now. Okay? That's what Jesus said. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for today is enough trouble for today. Just believe God and trust him for today. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about when you get older, when you have to retire and you need, and well, how you're going to fix your tires, and I don't know this. Just don't worry. Just today. If God wants you to plan, he can give you a good plan. He can give you a wise thing, but you're not worried about it. Got it? All right. We're going to close. Here's what I'd like to do. I'd like you to stand up today, and I'd like you to identify in your life, what are some of the biggest areas that you're worried about? What are the biggest areas that you're worried about, okay? What are they? You don't have to tell me. Just close your eyes and just say, God, I've been worried about this. This is what's keeping me up at night. This is what's giving me stomach ache. This is why the doctor has given me medication. Whatever it is, to say, God, you're bigger than my worries. You are so much bigger than my worries. You are so much bigger than my problems. And forgive me for not totally putting my trust in you. Forgive me for not doing what Jesus said and not worrying about tomorrow. Forgive me, God. I humble myself and I cast that care over on you. I give it to you and I'm not going to take it back. I'm going to say like Pastor Tom, God's in charge of my life. I put my trust in him. And I believe that the promise of God is working. The promises of God is working. Some of you got a word today from the Lord through the prophetess. And she said this to you. She said that to you about your job. She said this to you about God's calling on your life. She said this to you. You know, every single one of you here today is getting a word from God. Whether it comes through me or Pastor Lori or however it comes, he's speaking to your heart and he's saying, you can trust me. You don't have to fear about your life. You don't have to trust in people. You don't have to trust in things, in your job, the economy. Put your hand to what I called you to do. And you will be that overcomer, God says. You will be that victorious believer. You will be the one giving an example to others of God's faithfulness. And in doing so, you will honor me. You will be a witness of my goodness, of my greatness, of my love. Because I've established you, God says, every single one of you in here for great things. Not just to be potentially great, but to actually be great. And to move up to a higher level of achievement and accomplishment, productivity, and fruit bearing. In this world, in the kingdom of God, in the church, wherever you put your hand to, God says, I desire more than you do to prosper it, to bless it, and cause you to rise above the lies and the curse of this world to a place of blessing, to rule and to reign with me. This is what I died to accomplish, is to cause you to rise to a place where you're sitting on the throne with me, which is a legislative position that you can actually declare in the heavenlies. This is the way things are working. This is the way God said they work. And not to take no for an answer when it comes to the promises and the things of God. So just give those things to the Lord right now. Let's pray this prayer. Heavenly Father, we cast our care. We cast our worry. We cast our anxiety over on you. And we put our trust totally in you. We put our trust totally in you. We confess you're in charge of our lives. We confess that we can trust you. We confess before you this day that your promises are true and they're coming to pass in our life. We receive them now. Just receive them. Lift up your hands and say, I receive it, God. I receive the promises of God. I receive the promises of God. Some of you are on that verge where you're ready to believe God now for this breakthrough. Go ahead, just believe God now for the breakthrough. Maybe it's in your finances. That's so many times what happens. All right, because we self-doubt ourselves, but just believe that God is he owns everything. The cattle on a thousand hills. He's created everything. He can get the resources into your life as long as you will do with them what he wants you to do with them. Not hoard them, hold on to them, or be stingy, but be generous and be productive. Then God can flow his blessings into your life. Some of you are right now, you're saying, God, I need a healing in my body. Okay? This pain, this report right now, God says, receive my healing power into your life. Let it flow into you in Jesus' name. Let it flow into your body right now. Say, it's mine. Jesus died. His stripes took my disease, took my sickness, took my pains. Okay? Some of you battling with this anxiety, he took the crown of thorns on his head so you could have the peace of mind that passes all understanding. Just rest by faith, rest in him that he is got your life in the palm of his hand. All things are possible today to those who believe. Challenging you. Believe it. Now say this out of your mouth. Say, Heavenly Father, Like, you mean it, Heavenly Father? I believe and doubt not in your goodness. I believe that you will direct, make smooth, make straight the path of my life. You want me to put my hand to the plow, and you want to prosper and bless me. Do it, Lord. Have your way. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Give the Lord a big hand clap. Thank him for it today. I hope all of you can stay for a wonderful lunch and some fellowship upstairs. Most of you know how to get upstairs to the daycare area. That's where we're serving. We've got tables in the red room upstairs. So please come up and enjoy the fellowship and with your children, and just tell the children what a great job they did today. Amen. We love you. Bye-bye.